entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, January 29th. And Jen and I are coming to you at the speed of sound. If you'd like it, yes. Definitely not the speed of light, but it better be the speed of sound.
Yeah, because you're hearing us.
We were hearing us. I'll be damned if it's not the end of January, and I can't believe it. You know, February's here already.
I can't believe it either.
Yeah. Well,
it's almost summer.
It is. In LA it is, yeah. Definitely. I mean, the funny thing is it looks like rain outside, but we know it's not going to rain.
Right. It'll definitely burn off by afternoon,
right,
and then it'll be sunny again.
Yeah. It's just to depress us a little bit. It's not here nor there, you know. So Sunday is the Super Bowl.
It is.
Right? Super Bowl Sunday.
Yep.
And it's funny because they're sending people to buy TVs. You know, everybody's like goes and buys a new TV for the Super Bowl, whoever doesn't have a big screen or whatever, you know.
Yep.
And it's funny because you wonder, you know, why would you wait for the Super Bowl to buy a good TV, you know?
I don't know. There were plenty of holiday specials going on, so
right,
that would have been a better time.
Right, exactly. But they say they do have some specials here. So, I mean, a 50-inch Samsung 4K, which is the new... have you heard of 4K TVs?
No.
Okay. Well, we have high definition, right?
Right.
And that's almost 2K. And this is as far as, like, pixels on the screen and stuff. So these are like four times as, is it two times? I don't know how they figure this, but it's so sharp. I mean, you can see everything. If you thought high definition is good, you got to watch 4K.
That's so crazy because I already do think that like HDTVs right now that I've seen, like, you know, I have or other people have, are too clear.
Right. Huh?
It's like
you
confusing.
Can see everything.
Yeah. It's like, wait, I thought I was watching TV, but it looks like I'm there.
Right.
Which is great if that's what you want, but at the same time, it's like confusing to people who are like, it's too real.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that. You know, I like sharpness in pictures and stuff, you know. So sometimes when I watch an old movie, it looks grainy and stuff, and I'm like, ah, I'm not enjoying this as much, you know. So I've become spoiled. But
yeah, I think we have to just get used to it.
Yeah.
It's just new technology that we're going to get used to. Our eyes will adjust. It will become the norm, and then the next thing will come
exactly. You know, who can argue with, like, seeing skin pores and stuff on the screen, right?
Well, when we were watching the Golden Globes, a lot of people argued about that. Because,
really?
I mean, granted, I have a spray tan right now, and I probably look a shade of orange, but a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
Yeah, there you go.
But we saw, like, these talent on stage and in this light and this HD TV, and we're like, whoa, this is a new breed of orange, shiny people. Something is awry.
That's true. I did notice that.
Yeah.
You know, the little that I did watch, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Everyone was orange and shiny.
Right.
And you could see all their lines. And I'm not mad at it. I just have to get used to it.
Right.
Because I'd rather see real people than fake people. So.
Right. But that's Hollywood, you know?
Right.
How many real people are you going to find? I mean, these are actors. They're supposed to be like other people.
Yes. However, now if the TV is exposing them to real life skin issues, great. They're just like us. You know how in magazines they do those things that are like celebrities just like us?
Right.
Good. Well, we all have lines.
I know, like the Inquirer, where they show you people that are overweight, celebrities that are overweight on the beach or something.
Yeah.
Wow. I know. It's like, you know, you're a celebrity. You're in the public eye. Forget about privacy. You know, and people don't consider that when, you know, they're like, I want to be famous. I want fame. I want people to know me. And what they don't say is I want people to love me. But the thing is you know, they do things that, you know, that are weird.
Yeah.
I think, you know. So, but the Super Bowl is, I don't know, I kind of like the atmosphere in the air, you know. It's sort of like festive and stuff. But you know, I don't really get into the games when I go to a party or something, you know. If you watch at home and stuff, you can get into the game. But when you go to a party, you pay attention to the commercials, you party.
Yeah.
You know, you have fun and stuff. But
well, I'm actually going to a party at a Seahawks fan.
Oh, really?
Home. So he's going to be screaming, and he does, like, big things for, like, when they watch.
Really?
Like, they'll, like, do videos, and, like, everyone's, like, chanting and, like, rooting. And he's also a singer. He was on American Idol, I think. So, like, it's just a fun group of people.
Right.
And, like, I would normally root for the Patriots, but right. because I'm going to his house, I'd probably root for the Seahawks.
Exactly. Just in your heart, you're going to support the Patriots.
Right. Also, Lauren and I are going together, so it's like two drunk girls, you know.
Yeah.
We'll probably come up with a drinking game. We'll make it really fun.
That's
I think
true.
we might go as referees, like dressed as referees.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, because like we're neutral in terms of like which team wins. We don't really care.
Exactly, yeah.
But we're there to have fun, hang out with a bunch of guys, our girlfriends, drink, eat.
Uh-huh.
It's like a holiday.
Yeah.
It's an unspoken holiday.
Yeah, it's cool. You
it's
know?
A drinking holiday. I think there are some
it
of
those. It is, and eating too.
Yeah.
A lot of junk.
Listen, if St. Patrick's Day can be a holiday and people just drink green beer,
right.
Super Bowl can be a holiday.
Yeah, why not? You know, I mean, people love football.
Yep.
I used to really be into it back when I was in my 20s, you know.
Yeah.
I used to like football a lot. It was a different generation also. A lot of the big stars that came out during those times, the 80s. And you know, they're still like on TV commentating and things like that. So that was a good period. I knew a lot of the players and stuff.
But, yeah.
But now I can't connect to it. You know, I don't know why. Maybe if we had a team, our own team,
right.
I'd be able to support it.
Right. We would know. Have a horse in the game, but we don't.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're talking about four different teams looking for a new home. So we'll see if one of them will end up here.
I mean, we have space.
We do. Although they're going to have to build a new stadium, they're saying.
Right.
The
well,
Coliseum
they should do
new.
It. It's like enough talk about it. Like, let's just do it.
Right. But it's up to the, I mean, the city has to offer them something enticing to come here.
Fans.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, I
We're
guess.
Desperate for a team.
We really are.
Call us.
I mean, the second largest city in America, and we don't have a football team.
Right.
New York has too.
Yeah.
You know, many
crazy.
Other places have too. We have nothing.
Nothing. Have you been following the Aaron Hernandez trial?
No, I have not. How is that? Have you been following it?
Well, they're just starting it right now, right before the Super Bowl, so everyone's like super into it because
right.
he was a tight end for the Patriots.
Right.
And so he's accused of killing, well, I think a couple people, but they threw out some of those cases because it was just, there was not enough proof that they were connected.
Right.
But they say that he and two other guys killed the boyfriend of his fiance's sister.
Wow.
So what would have been possibly, you know, to make it more like less complicated, I guess, his brother-in-law.
Right.
So because he was the last person he was heard to be with before he was killed, people witnessed it or heard gunshots. Then the car that drove away from the murder scene went to Aaron Hernandez's home. Mm-hmm. And this was right when Aaron Hernandez had just signed like a $40 million contract with the Patriots.
Wow. And I remember when this happened, it was something like, it was a big deal, you know, because
yeah.
I mean, he's a famous player, right?
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And apparently, yeah. like, after he had been accused, he went to speak to Bill Belichick. And, like, now they're on the list of, not witnesses, but yeah, witnesses.
Oh, wow.
Because he went to speak to him and Bob Kraft right after and said, like, I wasn't involved. So now everybody's involved.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah, how people destroy their lives. It's unbelievable. You know, he's had it made, you know. What are you doing going to kill somebody?
I don't know. You know, whether obviously. Or not he did or not, like, hang out with different people.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're going to get, like, you know, incriminated on, like, a possible murder trial, maybe it's because of what you're doing in your life, like,
right.
or who you're surrounding yourself with. If you're innocent, like, just make choices. Make better choices.
Sounds
if you're not
good.
Innocent, well, then adios.
Yeah. Sounds good.
See you later.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to have a guest on the phone, a very interesting woman, and she's going to call. We'll talk to her about a few things, actually. She's into a lot of different stuff. I was on their show last week, and I had fun. You know, people always have fun talking about themselves.
Yeah.
That's why our guests always love coming here. You know, how can you not enjoy talking about yourself?
Right.
Right? and tell the whole world about you.
Yep.
Next week, we're going to have a couple of people from the Love Debate. I don't know if you've heard of this, but last year they had this here. We brought in Laurel. Remember Laurel House?
I love Laurel.
Right. She was in it. That's how I got to meet her. Ah. She was in it last year.
Oh, right. I remember you mentioned that.
Right. So the Love Debate is they get some like relationship experts, and they invite young people, singles, to mingle and ask questions and stuff.
They should call me.
Okay. Well, they're going to be here on Tuesday. He and one of the another like matchmaker or something.
Cool.
Yeah. So they'll be here, and that'll be cool. And it's pretty interesting stuff, although Laurel didn't give it great marks, you know, after she was there last
year.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's L.A. What do you expect? You know, people are going to be superficial.
Right.
Not
she actually just wrote an article for the Thrillist. It's like a newsletter that goes out, our website. And it was about, like, why dating in L.A. is so hard.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, the 11 reasons why. Oh, and really? I retweeted it, and she favorited it. And
oh, cool.
We're friends on social media.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we are too, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take this call. And we're waiting for Jessica Haynes. Jessica, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Jessica. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here. I'm so pleased to be on your show. It was wonderful having you on our show, Empowering Your Life. So now you get to know more about me.
Yeah, absolutely. Say hi to Jen, who's sitting here with me.
Hi.
She's my co-host.
Hi, Jen.
So I just wanted to introduce you. Now, Jessica, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from lovely Monterey Peninsula. I live off of Highway 68 on the Monterey
Peninsula.
So therefore, I have lovely rolling hills that I look out on, beautiful, beautiful flowers. It's just very much nature-oriented.
Wow.
I have a beautiful pond in the backyard, and I have lovely flowers and fish and goldfish. It's like a lovely paradise.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you're trying to get me to move down there, I know, because it sounds amazing. And for those of you who don't know, Monterey is south of San Francisco, a beautiful place. So how did you end up there? Did you grow up there, Jessica?
No, I grew up born in Hawaii, and I loved Hawaii as a child, and then we moved to Oregon. I was in Oregon for probably 16 years, graduated from Oregon State University, and of course there was a huge crash in the economy in Oregon, and so my mother had been born in Berkeley, and that's where I originally was born, in Berkeley, California, and she wanted to get back to California for many years. So my father got a job in Monterey, California. Wow. And I hadn't knew nothing about Carmel, Monterey, Pacific Grove, but my mother, having graduated now, said, come on down and, you know, let's relocate to this area. Well, having not known anything about it, it was like home, absolute home.
Wow.
I'm supposed to be here. I would be about 21, 22 at the time. I had never had that feeling before. That I know I'm supposed to be here, especially when it's to Carmel. And I lived in Carmel for a number of years. Of course, I lived almost every single city in on the
beautiful
peninsula.
Yeah.
That's why I got there.
Yeah, well, it sounds interesting to me. Now, so you have a show, just to introduce people to you, you have a radio show with Michael Long called Empowering Your Life. Everybody can listen to that Tuesday at 1, right?
Absolutely.
Tuesday
from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Yeah, Pacific Standard Time. And you guys can catch that show. I was a guest on it last week, so if you guys want to find out a little more about me, you can go and check it out. Jessica, you do a lot of things. I mean, I was amazed at all the stuff you're involved with, and that's amazing. I wanted to bring up the fact that I'm sure this was life-changing for you. You were involved in an accident some time ago. And, I mean, this was like in 1983, so you must have been pretty young.
Yes, I was 27 years old at the time.
Oh, wow. So you got involved in what, a car accident?
Yes, I was working very hard at in the art world, and I decided, a friend came by and said, hey, you work 7 days a week, sometimes 10 hours a day, because I was so devoted to my job, and he said, take a break. I just got a brand new red Firebird, and let's go down to the ocean, and just enjoy yourself for a bit. So, because he wanted to show off a bit with a friend that I knew. So he put his foot to the pedal and at accelerating speed missed a turn and crashed into a tree right off of Scenic Drive along the ocean. And my face was crushed in, my back was crushed, my feet were crushed, my eye was pushed in, my jaw was pulled off.
Oh, my God.
He walked away from the accident, but the car completely crushed me.
Wow. What happened to him? Did he survive, too?
Oh, he walked away with only a few bruises.
Oh, my God. It's always like that, you know?
I mean,
the drivers get you in trouble, you get injured, and they just walk away.
Yes, know? Well, of course, he was saved by the steering wheel.
Yeah.
The steering was completely pushed in, but my face went into the dashboard, also into the glass, and, of course, the way that the car hit and spun, that I was multiply pushed around in the car, and that's why I had so many serious injuries.
Right.
So they had said that they thought that I would not be able to walk again. Of course, my face was so completely disfigured, grotesque. And that was after the surgery to put the skull back together again and reattach the jaw. That's when I had a presence come into the hospital room. It was at night. And, of course, the pain was just unbelievably excruciating. One of the things that was also one of those amazing things, like, okay, what more can you deal with? The boss that I was working for, who was my companion, my lover, I thought we were going to get married and build this business together. Because I was so disfigured and he thought I couldn't work anymore, he fired me in the hospital, says, don't come back. I don't want to see you again.
Wow.
So it was with that and being crushed and then not having a job or having your person that you love just cast you out. I think it was so distressed, and I prayed to God. I said, "What? Help me.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Loving presence came into the room and asked me if I wanted to leave, it would be okay. And that's when I went to the other side.
Wow.
That's when I died.
You died?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How long were you dead for?
Oh, not that long. Probably about 10 minutes. Not that long, but it felt like forever.
And a person can survive after dying for 10 minutes?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's been recorded that some people have been dead underwater for 20 minutes and survived. And that's one of the things, of course, with near-death experiences. I've spoken about it all across the country and also abroad. Once you start learning about it, there are people who have died for longer than that. Sometimes it's 2 minutes, sometimes three, sometimes 20. So, yes, it is possible to get with the body coming back.
Wow. Because they say, if there's no oxygen to your brain and stuff like that, then, in a couple minutes you can die. And that's why I don't understand it. But, Jessica, I mean, you got your share of anguish in your life. And, I would imagine this brings you to question everything about life and why things happen. And, I mean, that is, like, devastating. And it's totally a story of survival. I mean, to hear you sit here with us and talk about it and able to laugh and all that is it's just amazing, because I can imagine with a disfigured face and everything, you just look at yourself in the mirror and you just don't know what to do.
It is exactly that way. Of course, after in the hospital for about 2 weeks, right around 2 weeks, that in the beginning they would not let me have anything that was glass or metal or anything, because my face was so, again, disfigured that they didn't want me to see it. So after 2 weeks, I saw my face for the first time, and it was, again, so grotesque. But one of the things that happens, my near-death experience changed me completely. On the other side, I had all types of revelations and about what reality is in my life and life reviews and my purpose and how I had not been on purpose and what my real mission was and what... And I begged to go back. Please, please, send me back. I want to get back. Even though my body was crushed and there were so many different things that were challenges, that I just, now I was in touch with, we call it all that is, or the beginning, or the source, very much in that presence. And so I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I had this very strong feeling that I would be healed, because I was in a brace from my neck to my waist. They said I'd be in that for at least 6 months, and my feet were crushed, as I mentioned. So...
Wow.
I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I just knew I would be healed. And was one thing that I've helped people to learn and talk about, and other people who I've taught too, in the power of prayer and also in the power of belief, little by little by little. In the beginning, I would just pray if I could just blink my eye, because the nerves had been so damaged in the car crash, but also putting the face back together with a plate in my forehead, a plate with my eye. The eye had been pushed in and down, so they had to rebuild the socket. They put my jaw back on, and that little by little, I would just pray if I could just blink my eye, if I could just move my eyebrow, if I could just move the corner of my mouth. I would pray and focus on that, and then the next morning, that I could move that one little part. What I had prayed for, that was healed. As I knew that I was in connection, would you call it, the source of this belief, or that there was a higher power that if you can tap into it, and when you tap into it, then miracles can happen. So faster and faster, the scars started to go away, and my face started to look like myself again, and the eyes that had been pushed in and down, it started to come forward. The doctor said it was absolutely impossible for that to happen. In fact, they wanted to take, that was my right eye, take the eyeball out and
oh my
put
God,
bead behind it. And then
too much information, Jessica.
No, no.
My God. My God. Wow. So now, but let's, okay, so that's really, I mean, that has defined your life from that point on, I imagine. And so you came back with psychic abilities. Is that what happened?
Yes, absolutely. What happened, of course, now that my face was healed and I had this very strong sense of belief and faith and completely healed, I went back to work and I started to notice things about it's like a TV screen started to show up, and I could see things in the future. So when people would comment about their life or things that they were doing, I call it remote viewing. I could send my mind into the future or past or in other different areas, past, present, and future, and see things. And it turned out to be absolutely accurate. So the first 9 years, people would come to me and they would say, ask me questions about home, work, relationships. And I was, like a TV screen would show up, I could answer it. And after 9 years, I realized I was so accurate, I decided to move into that direction. And I've done that for the last 30 years, helping
wow,
people.
Very cool, very cool. So, yeah, so you see, I mean, there's always a reason and a, you know, a purpose to things that happened, I think. You know, yeah. And, you know, you had to go through something pretty serious, but I guess you got a pretty big purpose. You know?
Yes, I know. If you would ask me, would I want to go through that again? No, I wouldn't.
No.
But to learn the lessons, it changed my life in the most positive, most wonderful, wonderful ways.
Wow, that's amazing. You see, that's inspiring to me. Well, that's cool. So now, Jessica, you also sent us the cover of a book that you're going to publish, or is it published already?
It's in the process of being published. It's at the publisher's as we speak right now.
Oh, wow. And the book is called, what's it called? Get What You Want Now.
Yes, Get What You Want Now, Money, Love, Power, and More. And this is a book that I'm so proud of.
Yeah, yeah, Jen is right. We want all of that, money, love, power, and more. So,
yeah, more.
Yeah, exactly.
More fun and love and joy and, you know, wonderful experiences, all of the above.
Wow, this is very cool. So how long did it take you to write this book?
From the inception to the time it was completed, I would say about 5 years. Mm-hmm. I rewrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it, just getting it the way that of what I wanted from the initial. It started off, it's going to be 20 pages, and then it was going to be 50, and then it started at 100, and then it was 136. But also, I would send it out to all my clients across the country and around the globe. What do you think of this? What do you think? What do you think? And I got their ideas. Of course, it was what I wanted to write to help people from everything I've learned from my near-death experience and all of the different people that I have helped in example after example after example to help people change their lives. And when I had the script that everyone of 100 people, all different walks of life, all different ages, all different races, that everyone said it was 100% helpful for them, 100% they loved it, then I knew it was finished.
Wow, very cool.
That is really cool. I can't wait to read it.
I know, you know. I mean,
I'll send you a copy. I'll send you the pre a published copy.
Yay.
I'll put that in the mail for you right now.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's when I knew 100% it would change the world, and also, oh yes, people's lives. But it's timeless. If you were to read it 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, it would still be the same message to completely enhance, help, inspire your life. You can read it again and again, or just open a page to 26 or 136 or and read it and like, oh, that paragraph is for me today. So that is how it was written. Intuitively, I wrote it, but also logically and practically, I wrote it that way too, because I was a writer for years and years. That's what I did in the art world. I was marketing, in charge of marketing, and did all of the different writing and articles. So I had a writing background.
Oh, wow, very cool. Now, I see you have a website called lifewithjessica.com, and I'm going to that website right now. You do so many different things. It's just amazing to me, you know, when I spoke to you and everything, and I'm looking at all the stuff that you're doing, and it's just amazing to me to see all that. Very inspiring. Look, you got a lot of articles here, videos and everything. Tell us a little bit about, so you have a business as well that you mentioned to me, and why don't you talk a couple minutes about that one too?
Yes, that is the Socket Saver. And yes, the website is, it inspires people. That's how I help people to move their life forward. And it was in the process of that, of, you know, wanting to write and do that. In my house, we had all of these loose wall sockets. So when I was interviewing people, doing their tapes and things like that, the plugs kept falling out of the wall.
Wow.
When I was vacuuming or when I was drying my hair in this rental, the plugs kept falling out of the wall. And I said to my husband, Barry, fix it, fix it, fix this. This is just too difficult. I'm tired of the microwave isn't working. The lamp isn't working. I think there are 17 different sockets that were loose of the old house.
Wow.
And he could do it, but he didn't want to. I mean, he knew it was too much work or trouble. So he woke up one morning and said, I have a solution. He went out into the garage, and he invented the socket saver. You just slip it over the end of the plug, and then the loose wall receptacle, and it always falls out, then it's snug and tight instantly. You just put the socket saver on the end of the plug, plug it into the loose wall receptacle, and it's brand new. And he knew we had something. We knew we had something. So we went to the patent office, got a patent pending, and then the attorney said, well, you know, when we apply for the patent, it's going to be kicked back again and again because there's probably something like it or design like it. It went straight through. There was nothing like it.
Really?
So we test marketed and test marketed. It worked in all the different receptacles with all of our friends, and that's how it got started.
Oh, wow, very cool. So you've had a productive life, Jessica. I mean, you do a lot of things that I think people take for granted. Some people are lazy or they give up, you know. I mean, I can't imagine emerging from an accident like that and being so productive like you have been, you know, and it's very inspiring to me. So for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Jessica Haynes, who has done a lot of things, had a near-death experience and after a car accident, and wrote a book. Where can people find out more about the Socket Saver?
Yes, socketsaver.com, socketsaver.com, and also we're on amazon.com.
Okay,
so you can go to Amazon.com and see the Socket Saver and order it there. And you get a pack of 10 for $9.99. So you get 10 Socket Savers for $9.99, and the shipping goes out the very next day. Order comes in, and it comes out. And we have 5-star ratings.
Really?
We have people
on
Amazon.com.
Cool.
If you buy through Amazon, you can rate the product. And we've had 5 stars. People just absolutely love it. And so it's a wonderful product for us. You can take the Socket Saver with you when you're traveling for hotels, motels, airports. Oh, it was interesting that the first orders that we were tracking, you know, well, who was really buying these? Because we started off on the internet. And, you know, how were they finding out about us? College students. College students across the country were ordering them. And then we've, you know, been tracking, but of course now more and more people are finding about it through word of mouth. But soon we'll be in the larger box stores. That's just going to be happening now. We've got our packaging all organized, and we're ready to start getting into the CVS stores, Targets, and that's they're very interested in the product. We just needed to get our packaging done first.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. You know, I mean, that's a big undertaking, and I salute you for doing this. And finally, Jessica, just tell us quickly what your show Empowering Your Life is about with Michael Long on LA Talk Radio. Let us give us a little bit of background on what we can expect to hear on the show.
Empowering Your Life is exactly that. I always thought it would be wonderful to interview interesting people, people who have changed the world, people who are inspiring the world, people who are making a difference in the world. And so I know a lot of very amazing people that over the years and years and years. And so Michael and I are reaching out to these individuals, but also now some of the top celebrities and movie stars and TV stars so that we can interview them and that the public can learn from their stories, just like with you. It was amazing how you got into radio and how you self-started yourself and you learned everything from trial and error. So we're interviewing people that inspire other individuals and these wonderful life stories and experiences like we just had hardcore pawn stars and their story. So it's fun. Irreverent.
Yeah.
Good. Funny. Entertaining.
Well, it
cool,
definitely belongs
very
here.
Very cool. Yeah. So it's a show you can listen to again and again and again.
Yeah.
And we're just, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying getting these stories out. That's another way of a sense of purpose.
That's true. Well, everybody, go out and check out Jessica Haynes, all the stuff that she's done. I mean, just a lot of amazing stuff. The website is lifewithjessica.com. You can find out everything more about her. I can't imagine there's – well, actually, I can't imagine there's a lot more that we didn't cover that people can find out on the site. The book that's coming out is Get What You Want, Money, Love, Power, and More, The Essential Handbook for Building a Dream Life. I mean, what a better promise than this. When can we expect the book to come out, Jessica?
Probably about a month or so. We're okay. Just in the final editing processes. So it's word for word perfect. It's about a month or so. So I'll stay in touch with you
sounds
on that.
Good.
And
yes.
That you can announce it on your show at some point or another. And that, yeah. Also, that's the ETA, estimated time of arrival, my husband would say. He's a pilot.
So oh, yeah. All right. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for your time this morning. Very fascinating, very inspiring stuff. And I mean, I'm totally in awe of you emerging from that accident, from that adverse situation, and turning it into a winning life.
Yep.
You know.
Well, thank you so much. I so appreciate that, and that is absolutely yes. And that's why you're going to like the book so much, because it only just not only does it describe my adversity that I've come through, but also how you can do it too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's one of the reasons I created it.
There you go. And it's inspiring because, you know, many people will think, oh, my life is terrible. Wait until you hear other people's stories,
yeah.
You know, and then
it puts it in perspective and gives people motivation to do the same or at least get off the couch.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And a lot of stories are funny. They're fun, inspiring. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll be inspired. You're going to try this, try that. And it's each chapter is built on the next. So we have chapter 1, 2, 3. There are 5 chapters. But within each chapter, you have steps of what you can do and create. So by the time you start with 1 and finish with 5, it's just like, aha. It's the absolute aha. I can do this. Absolutely. I can do this. And that's how I created it.
Amazing. Jessica, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Best to you. You're so fascinating. There's still a lot to talk about, I'm sure. A near-death experience and all that. So we'll have you back on the show.
Definitely. And can't wait to read your book.
Oh, yes. Well, I will put a pre-published copy in the mail to you. And I would love to have your feedback on it. And I would love to have you say, oh, my God, you're changing my life, Jessica. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
That's what you want to hear. Okay, that's what we'll tell you, Jessica.
Okay, you have to, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you will.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait for your feedback.
Okay, awesome. Well, all the best to you, Jessica, and we'll be listening to your show Tuesday at 1, Empowering Your Life, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes.
Thank you,
so much
Jessica.
More to come. Thank
all
you
right.
So much.
You're welcome.
A pure pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. You know, I mean, what do you say after something like this, right? You know? I mean, everything is like dwarfed by comparison.
Absolutely. Everything's very trivial.
Yeah.
Like our day and our problems and what we faced in comparison to dying.
Right. You know? Or worse than dying is what you went through.
Yeah.
That's worse than dying, you know? If I'm in an accident and this is the way I'm going to come out, I don't want to live.
Right.
You know? But look at her. I mean, she's like, there's pictures of her now. Well, she looks fine. She looks great.
Yeah, in the back of her book cover, she looks, you know,
yeah,
like
well,
it
the
had
back
ever
of
happened.
The cover, I think the back cover is maybe a picture from before the accident.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know. I don't know, yeah. But there's a picture of her on her website now, more current, and she looks amazing. So never give up, you know. I mean, that's the thing. Don't take inspiration from me. Take inspiration from Jessica.
Whoa. Have you heard of Martin Pistorius and his story about how he was in a coma for like 6 years? He got the flu, was sent home from school, and ended up in a coma.
Wow.
And he was like basically like locked in his body where he couldn't speak, he couldn't communicate. People didn't think that he could hear or understand what was going on. And then one day his mom actually like whispered to him like, I wish you would die.
Really?
Because like for him to be out of like
whatever, out of the pain.
Right. And
stuff,
not
right.
that not that he was an inconvenience or that she actually wished he would die, but that he would let go and just like, you know, that he didn't have to stay around for them
Right.
So he actually heard that and he was cognizant about what was going on around him, but nobody knew because he didn't have a way to communicate because his body was like
paralyzed
right.
or yeah.
And so somehow he was able to blink or communicate with them that he was like aware of what was going on. And so then a therapist found out about this and was able to teach him how to use a computer to communicate kind of in the way that like Stephen Hawking did. But so then he wrote a book. It was called like Ghost Body or Ghost Boy or something like that, because essentially he was invisible.
Right.
People didn't think he was alive inside that body. They just thought he was like, you know, a vegetable.
Can you imagine?
And now he's married, wrote a book, is on like doing interviews. He's on the Today Show, like doing it recently this week. And he's in his 30s and he's there. He and his wife are considering having a baby and going on with their lives.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, just miracles happen.
Yeah. And what people actually like fight to live. It's so crazy that people fight to live every day. And then there are people taking away people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's definitely nature's way of giving us an instinct to stay alive, you know, so we can self-preserve. And so that's why, you know, I think even in adverse situations, people, the bottom line is they pull through and they get back to their lives, you know. I mean, even like when you go to jail and stuff, because I think if I end up in jail, I want to be dead. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to even think of being there, you know. And I don't want to be around when I come out of there either.
Yeah.
But people do have hope. And you can see after 30 years, they'll release somebody who they find is not guilty after all.
Ugh.
You know. So those are terrible things, you know. Do you remember the song We Are the World?
Yes.
30 years ago, believe it or not, it was released.
What? It's so funny
it was
because
that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm 30, so I heard of it, you know, as a kid.
Right.
But I thought it was new when it came out when I was a kid. So I guess it was old then too, or it had been around for a couple of years.
Yeah. No, 1985. That's when it happened. January 28th, 85. And I remember it very clearly because all the big artists at the time were singing there.
Yeah.
You know?
Wasn't it like Michael Jackson and Bono?
Yeah.
And
yeah, and I don't think Bono was in it because Bono is British, and I think it was only Americans. Bono was part of the song, not We Are the World, but the other one.
Another one.
Do They Know It's Christmas, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I mean, there's a picture here, and you can see, I mean, Michael Jackson and Richie, Lionel Richie, of course, they wrote the song. Then you had Stevie Wonder and Paul Simon and Bruce Springsteen and Cyndi Lauper and I mean, even Bette Midler, I see here, everybody was on, you know, and wow, it was an amazing, amazing song.
I have chills thinking about it. The fact that all really? Those people could come together for the same message, and that it was a, such a powerful song that is still a song that everybody knows today.
Yeah. I mean, I still listen to it sometimes. It's great. And it's really all the greats. I mean, Willie Nelson and Hall & Oates. I mean, it's just, yeah. So if I can't imagine anybody not knowing the song We Are the World, but if you never heard of it before, I highly recommend that you do. It was USA for Africa that was the cause at the time to save Africans from famine and, you know.
Which is still a problem happening today.
Still a problem. Still a problem. You know, I was seeing on TV last night that Boko Haram are training kids as young as 11 to hold guns and fight.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah. But We Are the World was a great song. Go ahead, listen to it. What else is going on, Jen?
Yesterday we had talked about the voyeur that had his cameras in his place that he rented out to those two women.
Yeah, in Canada.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So today I saw on the Today Show, there was a family that had a baby monitor that monitored the baby, you know, throughout the day. And they could watch the baby from, like, work and stuff like that. And also they had a nanny. So they wanted to make sure, you know, that they were always okay. And so they had this baby monitor on. And it has a live feed to the internet, which is how they were able to, you know, see their baby from work or wherever. And turns out somebody else tapped into that live feed, some random guy, right, and was watching the baby and the nanny, yeah, right, and whatever was going on in that room. And the way that they discovered it was the nanny was with the baby one day and the guy actually responded, and she could hear the guy saying, "Oh, that baby's sleepy," or like something.
Really? So the microphone was working as well there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it was two ways. And right, so because the baby monitor wasn't on an encrypted network,
right,
it, like, they thought it was on their Wi-Fi that was encrypted and you needed a password, but it wasn't. It needed a separate password because it was through the internet.
So it was hacked.
It was hacked.
And yeah.
And some guy was watching this family and this, wow, baby and this nanny this whole time.
Right.
It's, wow, so crazy.
It is. So creepy, man. You know? I mean, if I found out I'd been watched and stuff, I would kill the person.
Well,
I mean, what is that?
You know? I don't know. I'm sure there are other legalities that could come into play.
Especially
before.
Besides, I wouldn't be the prime target being a peeping Tom. You know, I'm, yeah, sure they'd find some hot chicks or something to watch. You know,
just so crazy.
I'm not a candidate for hacking.
What people sit around and do is so disturbing.
Yeah, I know. I know. Did you see they cast all female Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Wow.
Melissa McCarthy is so funny.
Yeah, she is, huh? And who else is in it?
I think Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig is there. Melissa McCarthy, of course. And I don't know who the other two are.
I don't have it pulled up. Does it say who there?
Let's see. Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live, and Kate McKinnon.
Oh, Kate McKinnon is so funny.
Is she also from
She's
Saturday
a star,
Night Live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is so funny. I love her.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She is. That's going to be great. I wonder when it's coming out.
Right. Well, it's good that they cast Saturday Night Live. Even Kristen Wiig was in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good that they cast from there because that's where the original Ghostbusters were from.
Yeah.
They were also from Saturday Night Live, Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray.
Yeah. I don't like when they remake movies, but if they're going to remake it and put a completely different spin on it.
Right.
Like, not younger people playing, like, characters from, you know, years ago, but the fact that they're doing women.
Right.
Is so cool.
Right.
Women, female comedians. You know, I mean, they could have done, like, Selena Gomez and those people, but I'm glad they did like an older generation.
It is
like
an older generation too, yeah. So that should be fun. And it's like women that, well, I don't know, Kristen Wiig is funny, but I never look at her as a funny person. I look at her more as a talented, pretty actress, you
oh
know?
My God, I see her as just like,
but
the
she's
funniest.
Funny, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she and Melissa McCarthy were in Bridesmaids together.
Right, I saw
and
that.
And it's just going to be hysterical. I can't wait.
I know. It's pretty cool.
I think that that's going to bring a whole new audience and the old audience that loved Ghostbusters together, and it's just going to be a whole new thing.
Right. Yeah. I wonder when the original one came out. Do you remember?
No, I was probably
was
a baby.
Before your time, yeah.
Or not alive yet.
Not alive yet, I think. Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, it doesn't say. So, let's see. Because it does mention the old cast, but it doesn't say when it was done. Oh, well, we'll let you know. We'll catch up on that and do some research on Google.
Yes.
Which takes exactly 3 seconds.
Right.
Yeah. So
also, I watched Still Alice last night. Everyone needs to see that.
Still Alice?
Yes. It's with Julianne Moore, and it was phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
It's very sad. There's nothing fun about that movie. It's about Alice is a mother of a family, and she has early onset Alzheimer's. And you watch her deteriorate. And she's very aware and like a professor. And so she kind of explains everything and goes through it with you and explains every step of the way. And it's just so sad, but it was brilliant. It was so well done.
Wow. Okay, well, sounds depressing to me.
But phenomenal film. So go see it.
Yeah. Okay, well, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Tomorrow's Friday, so we will be here to celebrate Big Friday before the Super Bowl. And thanks, Jen, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica Haynes, for calling in, and we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.